And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. Welcome back. It is 2011. It is the new year. And tonight we have David Watson with us, who is going to go into trance with the Willows. But we'll talk with David for a little while before that happens.
It's terribly destructive.
You know, just to give him a voice. Welcome, David.
Hi, Lori. Great to be back.
Well, we always love having you here. So, we can have your impressions. What do you think? What are your thoughts on the energy of 2011? I personally have been getting that there's more ease with this year. There is more grace with this year. And we're to be a lot more gentle with ourselves.
Well, that's pretty good any year, as far as I'm concerned. I would stoop to concur. I would think that this year coming up is definitely a big change from last year. Last year there was huge changes in people's relationships, shifts in, finding new relationships and breaking up old relationships. That was a very big thing for many people in 2010. It was also a year of bringing things back together again, coming back to point zero, as many people call it. And I think you're quite right. With this year and next year coming up, I think we're looking at some pretty significant shifts as far as our awareness is concerned. Particularly, the average person in the street is beginning to not be the average person in the street anymore. People are becoming far more conscious about themselves and how they interact with each other and in the society we live in. And I think that's significant, and I think this 2011 is going to be drawing us more and more towards that state of awareness. It always makes me laugh because people are always talking about, what about 2012, And I've said, and the Willows have said, which is the group of little entities that I yes. channel, for those of you who haven't tuned in and heard this before.
I think I keep feeling that they're like your soul group.
Yeah, well, they are,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a soul group man. But, the sense is that we're in transition right now. It's not something that's going to suddenly happen on the 21st of December, 2012. Mm-hmm. Too many of us put way too much focus on specific dates, and it's been proven time and time again that it's just rhetoric, mostly on our behalf. We have a pretty big fear factor in the human race, and in this day and age, it's become more than big. It's become mm-hmm. basically predominant, and so we've been dealing with a lot of fear, and we've been dealing with a lot of apprehension, and misunderstandings as far as who we are and how we're acting and reacting in life, and frankly, I think there is a shift. There is a shift around that right now, and. As I say, it began in 2010, and now we're heading into 2011. We're going to see more and more of that shift of consciousness and moving towards a broader sense of awareness about life and what we're doing here and our interaction with each other. And I like to consider this kind of like as the year of the Earthling, when we all start waking up and realizing we're not black or white or Jewish or Muslim or Zoroastrian or whatever, we're Earthlings. We're all on this planet together, boogieing through space at hundreds of thousands of miles per hour towards where we don't know, but we're all on it together,
Yeah.
And I think that kind of consciousness is opening. It's becoming, we're becoming more aware with the way that we're seeing each other. We're seeing the odd and the unusual as not so odd and certainly not unusual. We the differences that we have, we're beginning to celebrate rather than fight against. And I see this as a year of that kind of shift. in consciousness, and I'm very hopeful for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's also going to be this year, I think, the year of the nut bars. People who are doing random acts of violence for no reason that we would understand. We were discussing this a little earlier, you know, about that fellow who shot that poor congresswoman in Arizona, and recently in Toronto here, just the other morning, you know, one of Toronto's finest was run over by some maniac in a stolen snowplow, you know, and totally pointless and totally mindless act. And I think what this is people's reaction who have reached a point of the inability to interact with the world around them, and they just reach a certain point where they no longer think what other people are doing, and they focus far more on just what their immediate fearful paranoid needs are. And that's where we begin to develop people of you know, who have that kind of a nature. And I would predict, you know, much as I don't like to predict things like this, that we're going to be seeing more of this over the next year or so, as people begin to snap, you know. And as much as I say people are going to be shifting their consciousness in the next couple of years, I think some of us are going to have difficulty with that. And
I think probably a lot of people are going to have difficulty with that. I mean, I hope that it's all in divine order that all of this happens. But, you know, it's really hard to see that bigger picture when you're, you know, involved with something that seems so mindless and so meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we want to put meaning in life. We want to have meaning in life. We want to have purpose in our walk on this plane. And I think that the only way we're going to find it is inside. We're not going to find it out there. So I would say this may be a great year for introspection as well, and hopefully you know, self recognition,
right,
and self understanding.
Right.
But I see that perhaps, you know, just projecting for myself, you know, hopefully that's what's going to be happening this year for me. But I think with people that I know and have had an opportunity to share with already, a lot of people beginning to feel that way,
right.
You know, at least in my circle. And, I don't think you need everybody to believe it for it to be true. All you do is need to have enough people to understand it and believe in it for it to begin to, you know, unwind for us. So let's hope that's in the books.
I mean, I think a lot of the astrology people that I know believe that December 21st, 2012 is really just us completely entering into the year or the age of Aquarius, although we've been on the cusp since the 60s, that it's just really, and it's been a hard cusp, like it's
an ornery cusp. Yeah.
Well, it's like that's the shadow part of astrology, where they really can't predict, you know, when each age starts, because they're like 2,600 years, so it's not like we can predict when it starts, when it doesn't. But a lot of people in the field do believe that it's the age of Aquarius, which, you know, takes us out of the Pisces, the fish, to, you know, to the Aquarian higher light beings, more light anyway.
That's what it is. Yes.
And just into, you know, a different age. Like Aquarius Pisces is very spiritual, but they were saying that, you know, basically they had to go to the bottom before moving to the top. I think some of the information is quite interesting, but no one, I can't say that, because I don't know if you've heard about these birds and the fish dying in various places and what that's all about, and maybe the willows know what that's all about. But, you know, certainly anybody that's in the doomsday and conspiracy type people, they all think that this means that, you know, we're heading towards the end of the earth, which, of course, I don't believe, but it is kind of bizarre what's going on.
Yeah, it's been like that for quite some time. I mean, I remember as a younger fella, I used to read a lot of the works of Charles Fort.
Okay.
Who, you can still dig up information about him. He was a fellow who kind of haunted the library in New York City for many years, and he gathered unusual facts like rains of frogs and toads being found in seams of coal and jumping away, and you know, a vast number of oddities. You know, he wrote a book called The Book of the Damned, another one called Low, and several others as well. His titles escape me at this moment in time. But you can go on the internet and just bang in there Fortean Times, F-O-R-T-E-A-N, the Fortean Times. And it's like a newspaper. And they still collect oddities and obscurities from around the world. I think we've always had these things. What the difference today is that with mass media, the way that it is, it just makes things instant and total, mm-hmm. totally available whenever something happens like this. Fish dying and birds falling out of the sky and all of those kind of things. Well, I'm sure there's scientific explanations for them. You know, people say that they may have eaten, you know, grain that was poisoned, you know, to stop...
Well, there's some conspiracy stuff out there, and there's a lot of different things. Oh. But it just because, I don't know if you've read anything on it, but like there's thousands of them in different places.
Yes,
that have,
yes.
It's like, ugh. Yeah. I don't.
Well, the Willows say, and you can ask them about it or have them comment about it, but they say a lot of that has to do with the actual shifting of the magnetic fields in the Earth.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
And that, you know, the beaching of these whales and dolphins and the like, and you know, birds flying into buildings and falling out of the air, and all those kind of, I mean, these birds, all these blackbirds, I mean, you know, mid-states, was Georgia, I think that happened. And
there's a couple of states,
blackbirds, yeah. They were blackbirds, red-winged blackbirds, beautiful birds. But you know, the truth of the matter is, what were they doing flying in the middle of the night?
Oh.
What, which is when they died. I mean, oh. You know, like birds don't fly at night.
No.
Well, nighthawks do. A few of them do, you know.
Right.
But most birds do not fly at night. And, right. And blackbirds certainly don't. So it's obvious that something disturbed them and they were making a flight. It'd be interesting to hear as to what the actual reason is. But I would...
Well, they're saying that the scientists don't know what the reason is. They can't figure it out. So
yeah, well, I mean,
know.
The scientists are just us, right? You know. I mean, all science is like a giant educated guess about stuff, whatever right. It is. We get a bunch of experts together, and they'll, you know, what do you think about that, Jones? Well, Smith, you know, let's decide on this particular approach. But, I mean, it's just guesses, yeah. You know, about these kind of things. And, you know, you can come to folks like me who will go into trance and give you other information. It's really hard to say as to what's correct and what's not correct. I just think we live in a pretty mysterious world. And the object is not to try and figure out the mystery, but to learn to live with it and live in it mm-hmm. and realize we're as much of a mystery as everything else around us. You know, it's, most certainly are. But I pretty much had it with conspiracy theories.
Me too.
I mean, God bless them all. But the fact of the matter remains is that, As long as we can live, we'll always have some kind of paranoid delusion about somebody somewhere trying to take over something or someone else somewhere else or someone else somewhere else. And thus it's always been, you know. I mean, we have theories about reptilians. That's one of my favorites, you know, sort of like having pictures on YouTube of George Bush suddenly grabbing a, you know, fly out of the air with his long tongue. I mean... You know, that kind of stuff. Is he a reptilian? You know, look at his eye real close. And so, yeah, okay, sure.
My thing with all of this is that it's just distracting you from doing your own inner work. If you're always focusing on, you know, all these different conspiracies and all the things that are outside of you, and that's what you're focusing on, like that's where you're putting all your energy, then you're not putting your energy on your own inner work.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on all the things that are out there that are doing something to us.
Well, or perceived to do something, you know.
Right.
I refer to that as the fear factor. And
absolutely.
Quite frankly, I believe it's mindful and it's focused and it's done on purpose. That for those of us who watch the news, we're constantly being fed negative, fearful information. You know, the latest one is about there may be bombs blowing up here and blowing up there. You know, I mean, let's take a break on that, you know. I mean, ever since 9/11, nothing has ever really happened within the borders of the USA. There's been no terror attacks. There's been no airplanes blowing up and falling out of the sky. None of that stuff. And they'll say, oh, that's because of the security we have.
Well,
be that as it may, the fact is that a lot is made about nothing. You know, in the United States, they live with red, yellow, and green days, you know, or amber days. I'm sorry, not yellow, you know. No one in the States wants to feel that they're yellow. But the fact is that they're irrelevant to us in Canada. But yet in the United States, people live and breathe on those. It's a red day. It's an amber day. Amber alert, you know. Mm-hmm. And what that does, in my opinion, it keeps people on edge. And when people are on edge all the time, as you were just saying, you know, they don't have time to focus on anything else. They don't have time to focus on their journey. And they certainly don't have time to focus on what's going on in government or anywhere else for that matter. They're just in a state of mild trauma. Now, that's for the people who pay attention to the news and the information that's coming in from around the world, which may or may not be true.
Right.
You know, I remember watching a movie, you know, several years ago with Dustin Hoffman, and it was called Wag the Dog. And it was a story about this Hollywood producer who was approached by some, you know, dark op CIA type person who wanted them to produce a war that they could put on the news and show the people in the United States. And the war never existed. Now, I don't think it's quite happening that way, but the concept behind that is pretty real, and that movie just dropped right off the face of the earth. But if anybody has a chance to see Wag the Dog, have a look at it, because it really gives some deep insight into the way that we are influenced by the news. You go back, 30 or 40 years, Paddy Chayefsky's network with Faye Dunaway and Peter Finch, William Holden, probably one of the great movies of the time. You know, everybody remembers that scene. You stick their head out the window and everyone's shouting, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Well, that was based on, you know, the commercialization of network news. You know, and Chayefsky was a visionary as far as I'm concerned. Died way too young. But what he put forward in his concept there was very, very true, and it's very much in what's happening with the news today. It's turned into like a circus. It's no longer reporting on facts. Most of the news that we watch, particularly on some of the American networks like Fox, is opinion. It's not news anymore. It's opinion. I mean, who really cares what the reporter thinks? You know, they should be reporting on what happened so we can form our own solutions, we can create our own impressions. Yet, for every political speech that's ever given, we have 20 people come on and interpret that, so we don't really have a chance to think about it ourselves. We have to go through somebody else's brain cells on that one. All of those things, in my honest opinion, are things that we really have to give consideration to because of the fact that they do cause a tremendous amount of trauma and tension and fear and anxiety in the general population. We get it 24/7. Now, for the people who are alternative, who say, no, that's BS, we can't trust the media, instead, we have conspiracy theories.
Right.
Okay? So that they're nicely taken care of and traumatized as well. So we pretty well got the whole population taken care of. And who is doing this, and where is it coming from, and what's the reason? Well, the reason's pretty simple, you know? I've come upon accidents in my time, you know, car accidents and people being hurt and that sort of thing. And I found that what happens when somebody gets hurt in an accident, they become traumatized.
Yeah.
And in that moment of traumatization, they will do anything you ask them to.
Yeah, that's true.
Sit over here, drink this coffee, put this blanket around yourself. You know, well, let's wait for the, whatever you say to them. And it doesn't make any difference if they were, you know, a doctor or a lawyer, or they were, just a clerk, you know, in a store. We all react the same way when we're traumatized, and the kind of mild traumatization that we're all being saturated with in our society today puts us in a place where we're mildly traumatized. We all suffer from one degree or another from anxiety and stress. I mean, stress, the big killer, stress. Where does stress come from? Comes from the media and our perception of who we are, what we should have rather than what we do have, etc. We're in a society that's essentially being controlled and directed by a small number of people, as it always has been, but they're a lot more psychologically savvy today than ever before. And these kind of things to me are directly responsible for the mental and emotional state particularly in the U.S., but in Canada, we're not far behind it, you know. Right. I've always got a bone to pick about the way that we organize our information in Canada, the way we gather it, and about the way that our government is constantly, working with large financial factions rather than trying to work for the people of the country. And why are we in Afghanistan, for example? Why are we sending our beautiful young people over there to be murdered in a country where people don't want us there? Yeah. Don't want us there. They didn't want us there in the first place. But, we were sold a bill of goods from the U.S. If you don't send people over there, George Bush implied on the side, we're not going to buy your lumber anymore. So we send people over there, and you know what? They didn't buy our lumber anymore. So we didn't win. We committed to something that was basically, a terrible decision. And essentially, we have put ourselves in a position that in certain parts of the world, we're not very much liked anymore, And it's not because we're out there rescuing people from themselves, because apparently the people who are fighting them are the same people who live in the country. They just don't want somebody to come in and run a corrupt government, which is what's happening in Afghanistan as well. All that business from the WikiLeaks that came out, which was quite fascinating, wasn't it? But particularly the fact that the information that came out that the president of Afghanistan and his family are like landed royalty in that country. They get so much money. And very little of the money that goes to that country to help the people ever gets to the people. Mm-hmm. It all goes to a small elite group. That's what they're fighting against. And they look and they see people like Canada and the U.S. and Afghanistan. They're going, why are you supporting these corrupt people running our country? And, of course, we don't have an answer for that, because basically it's all kept under wraps. So we don't know what the agenda behind that is. But we know that the information's out there. So but that's the underlying stuff. So but what we get back is we lost another soldier in, Kandahar. The highway of heroes. And we see those poor, beautiful young people just blown to pieces, and they bring them back here to Toronto, and everyone goes there and we call them heroes. I call them victims. I think they are heroes doing what they're doing, but they're definitely victims of an unpopular, conflict that we definitely, should never have committed to, mm-hmm. But until we can begin to see it from that perspective, we do have to accept what our government gives us. But that creates trauma for us. Every time a body comes back and people line up and they're in, bridges over top of the 401, they ship them down to Toronto. People are traumatized by that on a regular basis. So that just supports my theory is that we are being slowly and very deliberately fed this kind of stuff, which traumatizes us and makes us far more susceptible to what's going on. For example, as we were discussing earlier, what is it, Bill B36 or what about the
trying to get our vitamins.
Oh, yeah, it's been through so many different metamorphoses. Every mm-hmm. time it gets defeated, the government comes up with another bill that's going to pass and go through. Well, this one, latest one's gone through like two hearings. The amount of through the Senate, and the third one, it'll be passed into law, which means that you out there, ladies and gentlemen, may have difficulty buying vitamin C in a couple of years' time. You may have to talk to your doctor. And he may not want to give you any more than 500, milligrams of it at a time. Instead of you want to take megadoses so you can kill the cold or keep yourself healthy in whatever way you want to. These are things that are being slowly and surely shifted, And of course, there's far-reaching implications around that as to who's behind it and why they want it to happen and all of that sort of thing. But, the program here isn't geared toward that, but I honestly think this is a year that we're here to wake up to these things, where we can step out and we can look around and we can say to ourselves, like Paddy Chayefsky wrote in that book or in that movie so many years ago, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I look at people who are in my age range. We're the baby boomers. We were born between 45 and 65, and that 20 year window. And we're now the controlling people in our society. Many of us are thinking about retiring now. And what's happening around us is we've allowed certain industries, particularly the oil industry, which is basically energy, you know, to become disgustingly wealthy at the expense of us and our children and our grandchildren. And we're just sitting there going, well, I guess it's okay. When I hear Harper turn around, God bless you, Stephen, and say to us, when we say, isn't there anything the government can do? You know, he said last year, oh, no, there's nothing the government can do because it's the oil industry. It's up to them. In other words, they're not going to intervene. Yet, it's the government that's given them the okay to, you know, go up into northern, not Manitoba, I'm thinking of... Calgary, yeah. North of Calgary, Alberta. Manitoba, yeah, Alberta, and like dig out disgusting amounts of oil from the sands up there, and do we get a break on that oil? No, because it has to go through refineries, which they're closing down left, right, and center, so they can pump the price up, saying, oh, we don't have that many refineries anymore, it costs more money to produce this oil, et cetera, et cetera. Yet, at the end of the day, when you look at their quarterly profits, they're disgusting. So here we are paying $1.14, $1.15 a liter for gasoline, okay, to put in our cars, to move around, and we're nobody's saying anything really. We complain, you know, oh, well, you know, those bad guys. But does anybody turn around and start lobbying? What happened to the political clout? What happened to the economic clout, quote-unquote, our generation controlling the world has? We've been traumatized and we've been anesthetized against this kind of stuff. So we no longer respond in the same way we would have, say, when our parents were alive in the 50s, who wouldn't take guff from anybody, you know? But now we take guff from everybody, particularly big business, who has turned back into what it was at the turn of the last century when Teddy Roosevelt went out to do his trust busting. But now we have gigantic trusts. We have oil trusts. We have pharmaceutical trusts, you know. We have. My favorite one is Monsanto and their group of trusts who are trying to control the food industry. 80% of the world's corn is genetically modified. 98% of the world's soybeans are genetically modified, and we're discovering terrible things about that. But yet Monsanto is given patents because it's genetically modified. Imagine having a patent for a corn, but they do. So when we begin to look at all of that and realize there's a lot more to all of this than we understand, and the governments are doing nothing to step in and say, what you guys are doing here is you're collecting together and you're trying to control industries. We can't have that. But they don't do that. And my question to the government out there is, why? Tell us why. I'll be happy with any answer. But why aren't you intervening? Why are you more interested in telling us what we can't do rather than taking our major problems and brushing them under the carpet and ignoring them? That's what causes trauma. Well, it causes trauma for me anyway. But I think in the larger picture, with increasing gas prices and things of that nature, you know, we are traumatized. Because Joe Average, which is me and you, you know, are running at a point where we're saying, well, I'm not going to go anywhere next weekend. You know, I'm going to stay home. Look at the gas I'll save. And we begin to become secularized again. We stop going out into our society. We stop participating in the way we have been. It's all part and parcel of a much larger thought pattern that's out there, in my opinion. So the reason I'm saying this is for people to think about this a little bit. If you haven't already thought about it, I'm sure many of you have. I'm probably preaching to the choir out there, you know. But the fact is the more that we become aware of this, the more that we make statements about this, and the more we become fearless about making these statements, and the more we start to make people who are in these positions, who are out there doing what they're doing, accountable, the better it'll be for everyone. Because our kids and the kids coming up today, they're not going to take this crap. You're going to see. They've stopped already in many areas just listening to us for sure. You know, I'd be interested to see what the next group of us coming up is going to do. But hopefully, we haven't numbed too many of the brains with you know the the electronic wizardry that's out there that's a total distraction for conscious minds as well, you know, which of course is, you know, I just love these, you know, iPhones and Blackberries and, oh, look, I can watch a movie on my iPhone. What the hell are you doing watching a movie anyway? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when we wanted to go and do something, we'd go and, I don't know, play peewee football in the schoolyard for a couple of hours. You ever see kids in the schoolyard anymore? No. Where are they? They're all at home playing on their computers, their Xboxes, with their little Wii 2s. Oh, look, I'm in great shape. I wave this little thing around and play on a screen in front of me. There's no going outside and getting fresh air. There's no participating with other kids. The hockey leagues in Ontario and Canada are falling apart. The kids aren't coming out. Why? Because they don't want to play hockey. They don't want to go out and do those things. They want to stay home and play.
It's so expensive.
Well, it is expensive, but, you know, a lot of them are being subsidized, you know? So the average kid can get out there. But it is expensive. But that's the other part of it as well, you know? It is the fact that it's cheaper to buy the kid an Xbox for $300 and leave them in their room all day long. And then we complain and say, what's the matter with our kids, you know? Well, what's the matter with our kids is the fact that they're not given enough opportunity to use their imaginations in proactive ways and use their bodies in wonderful ways to go out and play and interact and run around and just be kids, you know? I hate to sound a little curmudgeonly about this, but the fact of the matter is these are all things that we should and can start to, you know, take account for. And maybe change some of it in our own lives, in our children's lives, in our children's lives, you know, because it's really important. That's what we're here to do, is to make the world a better place. When I think about what we did in the 60s and the 70s, when we busted, you know, segregation, when we pulled America and Canada and Australia and everybody else out of Vietnam, we pulled them out. We protested. We went against all of that. What happened to us? What happened to us? Now we just sit around and go, oh, well, you know, there's terrible things happening in the world. We should be happy that we have what we have. Well, that's true. But the only way that we're going to have different things is for us to get up, get off our butts, and do something about it.
Okay.
So, there you go. I'll get off my soapbox now. But, you know, that's my general sense. Because unless we awaken that part within us, unless we open up to that, We can have all the wonderful predictions in the world, but unless we take action, the predictions don't mean anything, you know. So that's why I hope I'm offering a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of food for thought about these things. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a bit of dissension here and there. You know, a voice spoken in the out of the darkness of the internet to reach perhaps a few ears that might. Might understand, I don't mean to insult anybody, but do understand and take into your hands your own right to be here and not just go along with the status quo. So, there we are.
Okay.
How's that? Oh.
Well, we've gone past halftime.
Why don't we?
Yes, we have. You always do.
Yeah, well, you know.
Why don't we bring the Willows on and see what
sure,
they have to say.
Sure, we can do that and see what they have to say. So we'll just go into trance here. So thanks for listening, folks. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are here now.
Would you like to balance the form, please?
Yes, one moment. Yes, this is in effect with the agreement of the entity David. We welcome you here at this time. How may we be of assistance?
Okay, well, thank you for showing up. We are doing our New Year's talk today about what sort of things are happening with 2011. David has offered some of his suggestions on what he sees happening. So what do you feel is going on with 2012 for the people that need some guidance and some hope.
You specific 2012, 2011?
2011, this year. What do you see as we build up to 2012?
Well, as you are aware, there are many shifts on the Earth at this time, and we focus mainly upon these here as giving you a base of understanding for change. For that which is happening in the Earth happens on the Earth as well. This is here a year of much in the way of major weather shifts. You are just beginning to see this now. It is not a matter of looking and saying it is the CO2 emissions that are causing this. This is a natural part of the Earth's evolution, and it is quickening at this time. These shifts and changes. You are seeing Europe freezing. You are seeing North America becoming more temperate, yet wetter. So in the wintertime, you are seeing much in the way of storms here, much as you are also seeing across Northern Europe. All of these things are a result of the changes in climate in the Earth, but also, in as much as this is the case, part of the reasons for this change is because of the electromagnetic energies on the Earth, which are in effect at this time shifting very quickly, realizing that there is a solid core to the Earth, well, you may consider solid, many refer liquid or molten core, yet at the same time there has always been this core, and the Earth and the inside the Earth are very malleable. Yes, it is like a plasticine, yes? It is denser within the center, you see? So what is occurring at this time is there are shifts as the Earth's spin rate begins to change, and it is being affected by the gravitational pull of the Sun itself. This gravitational pull being affected particularly by that which is coming from the Sun, yes? Which is a solar wind. Of minute particles, high-charged particles, that surround the Earth. And as this surrounding the Earth, you would see you were seeing much more in the way of the movement of the aurora borealis, or the indication here of this these particles being shown in the actual magnetic field of the Earth. But the magnetic field of the Earth is moving more and more out of that north of Canada, and moving far more towards Siberia in that of the north of Russia. Thinking of this, because of the shifting of the Earth's core inside and the movement of the Earth outside, it is actually moving the currents and shifting them. What this means, in your own way, is you will see this year more in the way of electrical failures, yes? Blackouts, as it were. These blackouts will be a result of fast shifts of electromagnetic movements here. You will see more in the way of the deaths here of fishes, of birds, of other migratory creatures, including that of dolphins and whales, because they utilize within their own selves electromagnetic lines, yes, for actually moving and determining referred to here as of directions, yes? Mm. Very much so in this way. So they become, in fact, connected with these lines, and when the lines move, they follow the lines, not the land beneath, you see? And as a result, wind up suddenly a line that was in open ocean, for example, and now passes through an island or an isthmus, yes? And these creatures begin to beach themselves here because they are following the line, yes? It is the same as if a radar and airplane was being followed and they lost the horizon and wound up flying into the Earth, you see? It is the same kind of thing. So these shifts are happening greatly at this time, and also that is affecting your world air traffic as well, because as the magnetic north shifts very quickly now as it is occurring, it is necessary to change the direction of runways and change the direction of flights as well, so that they can maintain their compass bearings as to which way north is and where they are going. For the old routes must be, shall we say, realigned to fit the new magnetic changes, you see? Many are speaking about a complete reversal of North and South Poles, and it has been shown here, indeed, this has happened within your planetary's history. And indeed, there is opportunity here at about 68% at this time that this will occur within the next 6 to 18 months. But in fact here, it is something to keep in mind that reversing or not reversing, there will be some changes on the Earth's surface because of these tremendous amounts of stresses underneath the surface of the Earth. As the particularly ice shields at the north and south ends of the planet begin to naturally melt as they are. This takes tons and tons and tons of water and redistributes it into the Earth's oceans, thereby causing a wobble of the actual planet itself. So it exacerbates this situation to the point that you are having these actual physical shifts, hence greater shifting of the plates, for with the wobble comes less stability in the movement of the plates, and it is creating more in the way, particularly as you would see in the South Pacific and throughout these areas, refer of Indonesia's, the islands thereby, where the ocean floor is very unstable and is creating huge shifts there. And you will see the cracking of the plates therein. So you will see more earthquakes, and you will see more of these tidal waves that be assailing these coasts here. Also increasing here in volcanic activity, as you have already seen with Etna, there will be more eruptions of this volcano in this next year to 18 months, and it is important to pay attention to these eruptions, particularly your Icelandic volcano, yes, in this way, still erupting. It has not stopped. You're just not paying attention to it anymore. There are other things to pay attention to in your news media, you see. But it is these things that you must pay attention to, the same way as if you have of a skin condition, yes, and you begin to form lesions in the skin, yes, you must understand it is not the result of the skin, but rather what's happening in the internal organs, yes, and this is what is being studied through your science and your doctors. It is the same with the Earth. These things that are happening on the core of the center, the surface of the Earth in this way, are in fact results of what is happening at the core. Now, inasmuch as this is the case, how is this affecting those who are on the planet itself? Well, as the energy of the planet begins to increase in magnitude, vibrational levels increase, and people are on this planet are, of course, affected by it. The Earth is affected by the sun with its vast amounts of electromagnetic energies that is changing at this time. Yes, and expanding greatly. And the corona at times reaches out and almost comes into the Earth's connective orbit, endangering Earth with high solar radiations, or you're being told it is being endangered. But the thing that is not being taken into account is the tremendous adaptability of the human being and of many of the animals upon the planet, although humans are far more adaptable than many of the indigent creatures on this planet. And that means that you can adapt very quickly within a generation to energy shifts in this way. But nevertheless, with this being occurring at this time, it is important to pay attention to this so that instead of feeling like you have to resist everything, which is a natural human trait, you can realize that with these increased energies and with the shifting in the electromagnetic fields, that if you do not try to, shall we say, push against it energetically or intellectually, you would find that you will be able to adjust to these shifts far easier within yourself. Those who are not doing that are finding themselves feeling extremely agitated and irritated most of the time, and are unable to focus and concentrate in the way that they would normally deem healthy for themselves, you see? So these things are happening at this time, and you will see very much so that they shall continue onward for the next 6 years. So this business about your 2012, this business about the years leading up to it, it is important to indicate here the universe or the world as you know it does not operate on a time schedule. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
It operates in a cyclic pattern. And the cycles, as they are elliptical, and they are not always predictable. Yes? So they occur roughly at this time or that time. So that's what's happening now. A new cycle is coming in. New elliptical path is coming in. New energy shift is coming in. What this means is that those who are aware of it will be ready for it and ready to accept it and ready to progress with this new energetic paradigm. Those who are not ready for it and are resistant to it are feeling much in the way of feeling disconcerted. They are feeling very much in the way of feeling, best way to put it is, of unbalanced, yes? And many, such as the ones here who you were seeing murdering people at this time in public places, these people have completely and absolutely been affected by this energies, and it is taking an already addled way of thinking and pushing it over the edge. So as you would see in this year to come, be aware that there will be more acts of violence against society in general. But interestingly, in these acts of violence, you will see that more and more that citizens participate in stopping these things. It will not just be left up to the military or the police. And as you have seen already in recent events, it has been citizens that have stepped in to stop these events from becoming any more elevated or escalated, you see? So there is that aspect as well. So while there are those individuals who are cracking and are striking out against society, there are those who stand within the social order who are taking matters into their own hands and becoming more individualistic within the social order as well, not allowing those who would harm others to continue to do so. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this is very good as well to note that people are taking their power back and are beginning to think more in a compassionate way in helping others, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very good thing, and it is a major shift for you in all of this as well at this time. Be prepared in this year to allow your empathy to become more pronounced. Be prepared in this year to take on to yourselves here life with a larger grain of salt. Realize that things that happen on the other side of the earth, while they do affect you, are not there to traumatize you any longer, but they are there simply to inform you. And that is all you need to truly focus upon in this way, and staying away from these thoughts of death, destruction, and general malaise, which is what is being presented to you in so many ways. It is important here to take consciously and visualize these outcomes as you would wish them to be, as you would wish them to be unfolded on this plane. And the best way to do that is to simply stand up for what is right, to step into your own power, and to make sure that you have a voice in what is going on, whether it is at home, whether it is publicly, or whether it is in the business in which you work. A strong voice and a humanitarian voice is what is necessary for the shift to occur in a more positive way, and the way in which all will benefit, ultimately, from this shift in energies, you see?
Okay. What would you, like, with all of these shifts that are going on, how do we stay grounded, or how do we continue to evolve if we're going through
in all of this? Yes.
Yeah.
How
like
do we evolve?
Yeah. How do we allow ourselves to continue, you know, our journey with all of the things that are going on around us?
Well, it is important here to adapt a certain perspective. And you have much in the way of information available for you at this time. There be of the works here of Eckhart Tolle, yes? For example here, talking about learning to be in the now, yes? There are many who are common writers at this point that are creating here opportunities to shift from focusing outward to focusing inward. And this is the most important thing. The shift does not come from paying attention to what is going on in the world around you. That will always be the same. It is what the Buddhists have described and called samsara, or the sea of suffering. Because the more that one participates in the world, the more one becomes, shall we say, hypnotized by the world, and the less time one has to focus on one's own personal and inner development and the connection with the universe itself, giving them an opportunity to feel balanced and connected and to feel fulfilled in their existence, you see. So in this way here, it is important to note, by beginning to study these alternative philosophies and beginning to understand that that which goes on about you is always a constant, and that you may not find your answers within it. If the answers were to be found out there, then the world would be at peace, you see? But peace begins within. Peace begins within a consciousness of inner understanding. What is required at this point then is more introspection, more meditation that life, and begin to understand that you may live your life from the inside out rather than from the outside in. To drop the idea that their answers are out there. The answers must come within and must be practiced out there for this shift to happen in a more productive way. So this is what we would recommend to individuals, is to begin to realign their thinking process. Pick up some books on Buddhism. Perhaps you may wish to try meditations. Perhaps you may wish to just study the words of Eckhart Tolle, yes? Others of this nature. There is much that is being written in your time by individuals such as Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williams, Debbie Ford, and the like, about new thought patterns, about new ways to approach life and to begin to see a new vision. Example be of The Shadow Effect, yes? A good book for anyone to read, particularly when it comes to understanding one's own life process. For without the understanding of consciousness within, it is very difficult to learn anything about consciousness without. Because unless the inside aspect of consciousness is understood, then it is just rhetoric, listening to others' words, you see? Others' words are just information. It is important to remember this, and it is up to you to discern that information to determine how it is going to affect you and how you would like to use it in your own life. So it is a matter here of understanding these natures of consciousness and how one would focus upon this by letting go of the need to hold on to certain thoughts and feelings that one would see about oneself in the world, you see, and focus more upon who is watching, or who is seeing, or who is listening or thinking. This is a good question to ask oneself and a good way to enter into that altered state of consciousness. It is in that state of consciousness, when you drop things away from you, the thoughts and feelings and worries of the day-to-day existence that you hold, when these drop away from you, you are then propelled forward into a greater inner experience. Yes? And it is that inner experience where one finds one's own future. Gurus do not have the answer. Those who set themselves up to say, this is the right way, or that is the right way, or you must follow my way, are in need of more inner counseling themselves. When one takes the word guru and spells it, it basically tells you what you need to do. G-U-R-U. And you are yourself. You are you. You do not need another person to identify that within you or give you approval of who you are. Once you approve of yourself, once you appreciate who you are and the direction you are heading in, then you no longer need any kind of counseling outside of yourself. But what you create within yourself is a developmental process in which you constantly and continuously grow, because you were leaving yourself open to new information, new thoughts, and new philosophies, you see? Mm. By incorporating these, and not imitating all of them, but shall we say discerning them, and determining whether they resonate with your inner knowing and your inner learning, you will then have the opportunity to grow exponentially by interacting with that which is around you. But do not forget, who is interacting? That is the question to ask oneself. Who is thinking? Who is acting? Who is talking? Who is listening? It is that who that once it is answered, one would not have to worry about what is going on in the world around one, because whatever is going on is then part of that larger process. You see this?
Yes. I mean, that's definitely the goal. It's just, I think a lot of us need a little help getting to that place where that's where we're at, that we can accept our own. Like, I know with myself, a lot of my experiences have taught me that that's where I need to go.
Indeed, yes.
But it's not always easy. And it's not always as clear.
No. It is not an easy thing. And it is not always clear. But clarity comes from inner reflection.
Right.
And it comes from trusting one's own process. The biggest thing that people are taught to not do in life is to trust themselves. Parents teach children to not trust their decisions. Yes? Mm-hmm. Teachers teach students not to trust what they are thinking, but must trust what they are teaching. Religious pundits teach those to not think that way, but to see things this way, to believe this rhetoric, this dogma, as truth, and to forget the idea of free thought and understanding in relationship to individuals and their relationship with God or the Creator in this way, you see? So it is a matter of beginning to understand that the individual does stand apart from this general melee of thinking. And it is important to note that you are a part of the world around you, not apart from it. When you adopt this, when you embrace this idea that you are a part of it, not apart from it, then you will begin to feel more in connectedness with it. You will begin to feel more in balance with the world around you. And importantly, you will be able to see within your own self here that there is no separation between that which is creating and that which is created. Mm. For they are inviolably connected through the very purpose of the creative process itself, you see? So how does one get into this mindset? We would say, listen to what we have said. See how it makes sense with you. See if it already resonates with what you already know to be true. If it is, then you have a good path to begin to follow for yourself. You no longer have to feel like you are trapped in conventional thinking. Because for many of you listening here, you have already reached a point in your own consciousness and said to yourself, you know, enough of this. I must think clearly on my own. But it's a matter of determining how that's going to happen. Yes? We provide from time to time workshops and get-togethers to allow people to express these things. And we greatly encourage them to practice these kind of processes of meditation and introspection. It is in these moments when you are away from the general melee of the world around you, you have an opportunity to step into your own energy. And within that energy, realize you are in alignment with the larger energy, which resonates in exactly the same way as you do, you see? So it is, shall we say, learning by association in this way, and learning through introspection. But the true answer is, there is no answer, because there is no actual destination. There is only the journey. And within this journey, at this time, you have an opportunity to change the next 7 generations by making intelligent decisions today that are going to give individuals the opportunity to have a vivid and clear life, and one in which they feel fulfilled through sharing their talents and their knowledge with those about them.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lovely talk and time together. I think we're going to have you come back maybe in a couple months to a few months to go over some more of this. But
indeed.
Yeah. we have come to our time. And so I do appreciate, again, your guidance and your offering.
Well, we thank you, and we thank those who have been listening, and wish that you would all go in peace, love, joy, and harmony, and continue to walk on the path of the Masters. And we send you all great blessings, and we release the form. Well.
Well.
Here we
all
are
right.
Back. Yeah.
So thank you, David. Thank you, the Willows. And
well, thank you, Laurie.
We will be back. We'll bring you back, maybe beginning of the spring.
And thank you, listeners.
All right.